All right. Thank you, ladies, for that song. A beautiful message there. Nothing means more to me than the center of your will. And by the way, that's why we have church. You know why we have church so much? It's because the mics don't always work, amen? We have church because we have to calibrate, oftentimes, our will to match God's will, right? The things that we see on TV, the associations that we have, and I'm not preaching quite yet, it gets us off detour. It puts us on a path of unrighteousness. When you come to church and you hear the word of God, you line yourself up with the Bible. Because the center of God's will is the best thing that we can ever have. Turn your Bibles, please, as you're standing with me. Matthew chapter number 5. If I can get a little bit more on the monitor, please. Matthew chapter number 5. I don't know if it's an earwax buildup or what the deal is here. Matthew chapter 5, as we're standing, we're going to read one verse that this whole message is built around. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6. A very familiar verse, a very powerful verse. The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. I don't want to lose you now, okay? Let me finish the verse here, okay? We're all a little hungry. Blessed are they which do hunger, there you go, and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that has already taken place in this service. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to open up the Word of God and to preach. And Lord, the Word of God is so quick and powerful. Lord, I know that any answers that we're searching for this morning, regardless the family, regardless the individual, regardless the situation, if we give you our ears, you'll give us what we need. I trust you for that. Bless this service. Help there not to be any distractions. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Everybody has an appetite. Thank you. Everybody has an appetite. By the way, we're a church that loves food, amen. So I'm praying that I don't lose you guys here. But everybody has an appetite. Now, given some appetites are bigger than others. Some people have bigger cravings than other people. You know, you meet some people sometimes, man, I'm kind of hungry for a hamburger. Okay, small appetite. And then you meet somebody else, I need to eat 5 hamburgers right now. Okay, we all have differing appetites. A definition for an appetite is a natural desire to satisfy a bodily need. I always see pastor do this. I'm not, there you go. Sorry, I should have probably told you. Hopefully I don't have to take that from my paycheck there. It looked kind of cool. I've always seen him do that. The definition of an appetite is a natural desire to satisfy a bodily need, especially for food. And by the way, there's no greater feeling, or one of the great feelings in life, is when you satisfy a craving that you have for a specific type of food. When it comes to candy, many people crave it more on the sweet side. I mean, it's candy after all, made of 90% sugar, I'm sure. But others of us here, we like it on the sour side. How many of you guys like sour candy? I love Warheads. I don't know all these people that overreact with Warheads. Give me 10 of them in my mouth, Brother Raul, and we'll go for it, okay? Someone told me, if you like sour so much, you should get some kind of acid, melatonin and something else that my wife gives to my kids. Malic acid, I'm not sure what it is. It's straight sour stuff. When it comes to food, some prefer their food cold. Ew. Others warm, but the rest of us hot. Can I get a witness? Whenever we have an activity at my house, it drives my wife crazy because I think her culture generally is, let's get the food ready when the guests come, they can eat. I don't know if it's my culture or just my own preference. I want people to be served hot food. When they come, I'd rather have them wait 20 minutes than have the food cooked already for 20 minutes. And by the way, I've learned, most people don't mind. They just want good food. When it comes to steaks, can I get a witness? Some prefer it well done. Can I try that again? Some prefer it well done. Boo. Okay, we're going to get a church split here. Others prefer it medium or medium well. Lukewarm Christianity. While others prefer medium rare. Can I get a witness? That's what I'm talking about. And I'm tired of these people telling me, oh, that's raw or it's not cooked yet. Ask the professional chefs, all right? They're all over here. They all like it medium rare. But regardless of how we like our food, we all have a natural desire to satisfy the specific food needs that we have after church, during lunch, not during church, all right? Have you ever been on a diet before? By the way, I don't want to lose anybody here. I'm talking about the kind of diet that forces us to change our mindset and outlook on food, health, and happiness. There seems to be more focus on dieting than ever before, and I'm all for it. Actually, in our church right now, I think there's quite a few people that are into dieting, which is, it's a good thing. There's the Atkins diet.
focuses on controlling levels of insulin in the body by avoiding carbs, but eat as much protein and fat as you'd like. There's a zone diet, never heard this before, but aims for a nutritional balance, 40% carbs, 30% fat, and 30% protein in each meal. Then there's the all-famous one at Pacific Baptist Church, the ketogenic diet. I thought it was just keto diet, amen, but it means keto. Some of you guys are getting revival right now, right? Getting excited, right? The keto diet, and don't throw stones at me if I get this wrong. I just took it off the internet. We know the internet always tells the truth. Involves reducing carb intake and increasing fat intake. I'll tell you what, we can stop right there. That's good stuff right there. I can eat bacon. I can eat ribeye steak. I can eat fat all I want. That's good. It allows the body to burn fat as fuel rather than carbs because you cut most of it out of your system anyhow. People all over the world are changing their diets to accommodate these diets because they want to feel better, to look better, and to be healthier. But what is the key to a diet? The biggest obstacle in sticking to a new diet consistently and correctly has to do with one word, our appetites. Our appetites. Anybody can go a few days on one of these special diets, and I'm one of the people that went only a few days, okay? Man, I feel good right now. This is good, man. 3 hours, man, not bad, all right? No, that was when I was sleeping, okay? You can go a few days, but over time, it won't be long until you get those, what, intense cravings for the very things that you feel were causing you harm. I remember Brother Treber made a comment one time, said, some of you guys are addicted to soda. I said, me? I'm not addicted to soda. Soda is just something I casually drink. I have full control over soda. And then he made a challenge. Why don't you try to go 2 weeks or 1 month without drinking soda? I said, what kind of challenge is that? There you go. So sure enough, I went a couple days without drinking soda. My mouth started to feel a little weird, you know, kind of like, what is that? What's wrong with this water here? And after a couple more days, like, okay, this is not normal, I think, but I'll try my best, until I went to go order a hamburger and tried to drink it with water. That didn't work very much, right? By the way, after you abstain from drinking soda for a couple weeks, can I get a witness? You drink it for the first time, it feels like you're drinking acid. Oh, man, your teeth start looking, feel like they're about to come off. It's crazy. Anybody can go on a diet for a few days, but it won't be long until we get those intense cravings. In a situation like that, the stronger desire normally wins. If your desire to be healthy and happy and to make sure that you lose weight or whatever the case, live longer, whatever the case may be, if the desire to be healthier outweighs or is stronger than the desire to feel that carbonation rush, you're gonna obviously be okay. But if your desire is to bite that, whatever, carbs, fat, I don't know what the different diets you have, right? More than your desire to be healthy, then you're obviously going to give in. Let's take a look at this text verse again. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When Jesus spoke those words, the people gathered on that hillside in Galilee understood them a little differently than we understand them today. Now, don't get me wrong. We can understand and we can draw application from this verse, but it was a little different back then. The truth is, most of us know very little of the kind of hunger and the kind of thirst he was using to drive this point home. He was preaching to people who did not have Costco's and supermarkets on every single corner, right? Most of who heard him speak those words knew that when money and resources ran out, it would take several weeks to replenish that money and resources. They did not know what it was like to enjoy a great supply of clean water from the faucet while most of us wouldn't even drink water from the faucet. Because of this, they knew the kind of hunger and thirst that Jesus was referring to. Jesus was emphasizing that when we pursue God, when we pursue righteousness, when we pursue that which is holy, we will be filled. By the way, I like being full. I like being filled. If I'm going to go to a restaurant, I want to be full. If I'm going to go to a fancy one especially, I want to be full. If I'm going to go to someone's house when they invite me for food, I don't want to nibble. I want to grub. Because I want to be full. The same thing applies in Christianity. If I'm going to be a Christian, I don't want to be a half-full Christian. I want to be a filled Christian for the Lord. You see, being filled or full is a sign of blessing. Being filled is a sign of contentment. Being filled is a sign of satisfaction. Being filled is a sign of being at peace with God, knowing that your provisions are taken care of. Sadly, in churches all over America, there are a bunch of half-filled Christians. They're not full. because they're trying to get their protein and they're trying to get their nutrition and they're trying to get their appetites filled by the world, but it's leaving them half empty. Those words, hunger and thirst, are consolidated and combined to mean to strongly desire. In essence, God is driving the point home that if we want to be filled, if we want to be full, if we want to have peace, if we want to be blessed, if we want to be satisfied, then we must desire the right things. Amen. We've got to have the right appetites. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness describes people who truly desire to live an honorable life, well-pleasing and acceptable unto God. Amen. Psalms 19, verse number 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 27, 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David is making it very clear that his passion and his heart wasn't caught up in society. His passion, his heart, his appetite was all about meditating on God, being acceptable before God, desiring the Lord, seeking after the will of God, dwelling in the house of God, beholding the beauty of God. I tell you what, his appetite was correct, amen. He was hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What do we desire this morning? Let's be honest. What do we desire this morning? Is it to be acceptable in God's sight? Is it to seek after God's perfect will, as the lady sang a little while ago, all the days of our life? Is it to behold the beauty of our Lord? Do we find contentment in just seeing the majesty of God? Do we find contentment in just knowing that God loves us? Do we find contentment in knowing that God wants to do something for our lives, or do we need something else? Do we desire only to have fun in life? Nothing wrong with fun. I got a little vacation plan, and we're going to have fun. But don't live for it. Living only to fulfill the lust of the flesh. How is our appetite this morning? I'd like to share five keys to consider about our spiritual appetites that'll help us. Number one, our appetite defines who we are. Our appetites define who we are. You know, it's funny to me whenever people take pictures, especially ladies, right away they'll be like, I don't like the way I look in that picture. And I just want to kind of tell them, well, that's how you look. that camera has nothing against you. I mean, like, even if you threw that camera phone on the floor, like, it's not mad at you. All right, so it's not going to paint a different picture of you than is really you. All right, so I don't say all that, but I think all that. All right, and so they'll sit there, they'll take another picture, and then I just don't like the way I look in that picture. And by the way, the funny thing is, after they put it through 50 million filters, change the lighting a couple times, then all of a sudden they like the way they look. Well, that isn't you though, okay? Our appetites define who we are. Much like that picture illustration, our appetites show others and show God exactly who we are. Can't hide from that. Depending on our appetite, that will set our direction in life, which will then set our future. Our appetites will set our direction and set our future. You ever seen a young person dabble with some things that they shouldn't, maybe drugs or maybe marijuana or maybe smoking, and the parents will often say, that's going to take you down a wrong path, right? That's going to take you down a dark road. And really, they're not necessarily just talking about the here and now, but they're talking about if you get addicted to that lifestyle, if you get addicted to alcohol, if you get addicted to gambling, if you get addicted to sin, if you get addicted to that worldly lifestyle, before long, you're going to mess up your early 20s, you're going to mess up your mid-20s, you're going to mess up your 30s and your 40s and so forth and so on. Our appetites set our direction, which will then set our future. If you're living in a good place right now where God is blessing you, aren't you glad that you, at some time or the other, change your appetites so that you can end up where you are today? And if we can only drive that point home to our young people. Ask God to give you the right appetites because of this. Because our appetites set our directions, which then sets our future, ask God to give you the right appetites. Every single day of my life, I ask the Lord, I want to be in your will, Lord. I want you to set my direction today. I want you to bring the right people across my way so that I can be a blessing to them. I want to be able to be in your will. I want my family to be in your will. I want my children to love you. And as a result, because I want God to give me the right appetites, I'm trying my best to seek him and ask him for it. Ask God to give us the right appetites. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, is a verse that we've heard oftentimes. For Demas to have forsaken God, having loved this present world, that meant at one time or the other, he had to have been with God to forsake him. So at one point or the other, Demas could have been written and recorded in the Bible as Paul, as Peter, as one of these other great men that lived for the Lord. But as a result of him and his appetites, it set him on a direction that took him a different direction than these other men that we often read about and learn from. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this precious world. Having loved this precious world, his appetite took him off the path of righteousness. What would cause a man to lose interest in his wife? Oftentimes we hear something crazy and we think to ourselves, what happened? Who happened? What in the world? But in reality, I'll tell you what happened, his appetite. Yeah. His appetite. You hear about it oftentimes, a little too often nowadays, where men are leaving their wives or women are doing the same, and you think to yourselves, what happened? You had a good family. You had good vacations. You had smiles on your faces. Somewhere down the line, his appetites took him down a road where he is today, because our appetites define our direction, which sets our future. What would cause a teen to have no problem watching ungodly things for entertainment? And sometimes, you know, my wife told me the other day, my son chopped up his foot pretty good. We had to take him to the ER, and my wife said that there's a kid that was playing video games, and it was cuss words, and people were coming up to him telling him to turn it down because, you know, they're sick at the ER and they don't want to be hearing all those cuss words, and he didn't care. But you think to yourself, there are some crazy things that our young people are getting involved with right now. Yeah. And by the way, a lot of our young people, they're not doing it on the outward, they're doing it on the inward. They're doing it inside the rooms, right? They're doing it on the devices that we happen to be empowering them with. And that's a message for another day. But the things that they're doing, the things that they're watching, what would cause them to do those things? As a Christian, as a child of God, their appetites. Because they crave playing video games so much, the cussing and the nudity and all that junk that's on games now doesn't faze them anymore because of their intense appetite. What would cause a woman to dress immodestly, knowing full and well that our God is holy and God has given enough guidelines in the Bible on dress? We can blame it on our appetites. You see, most people know what the Bible says. Now, they choose to define it differently to cater to their appetites. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let me build something here a little bit. 1 Timothy 2:9-10, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. And I'm sick and tired of people trying to define these things in their own way. Shamefacedness means to be shy and bashful. Would to God that we get our ladies shy and bashful again. Most of them are walking so immodestly, and they're walking with so much confidence in their flesh because they know that people are looking at them. It's sad. Broidered hair, gold, pearls, costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So in both of these references, we see that the main objective for our women and daughters and ladies to display in their dress is what? To fear the Lord. To display godliness with good works. Amen. The Bible says right there, beauty is vain, but most of us are spending more time with our daughters to get them pretty. To get them to show their figure, to get them to highlight their flesh. And by the way, what you put on the bait, don't be upset when that fish comes and grabs it. I'm sorry, but a lot of times I know this is Sunday morning, but Pastor put me for Sunday morning here, okay? And I didn't ask to preach this message. God gave it to me, I feel. But let me say this. All the dramatic things that I see on the news and all the tragedies about young women that are dying and being raped and being kidnapped, and I feel bad about all those things, but the thing that makes me question myself is a lot of these things are occurring on a spring break when there's no accountability. Parents knew about that. A lot of things are occurring when these teenagers or these young people are running around at bars at 2:00 in the morning. Listen, I'm sorry for anyone that gets killed, and I'm sorry for anyone that gets hurt, but at the same time, maybe if we did a better job training our young people, they wouldn't put themselves in a situation where the wrong person's going to grab them. Amen. The fear of the Lord, to display godliness with good works. I wonder, are our daughters promoting this? Are our wives promoting this? Or is this actually backwards? Is the Bible wrong, Brother Raul? Maybe it shouldn't say favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Maybe it ought to say the fear of the Lord and displaying godliness is vain. Maybe that's how it ought to be. But unfortunately, the Bible doesn't say that. Come on. If we're going to spend time putting makeup on and all those things and dressing right, look good, but never let it compromise displaying godliness with good works. Never let it compromise the fear of the Lord. It's not worth it. What would cause us to be bored or bothered by preaching? We blame it on our appetites. Because our appetites define us, we should ask God to give us the right appetites. Just a quick glimpse into someone's life, we can quickly tell what they love. How much they love preaching by how they listen in church, amen? If someone in church right now has their phone out and they're looking at this, and if you have your Bible on your phone, I'm not talking about you, but if you're sitting there, you know, you're looking at your social media, well, guess what? The people around you, they know how you feel about church. If you look like you're falling asleep or getting angry or whatever it is, or look like you're preoccupied with something else, well, guess what? The people around you, they know what you feel about church. Based on how we rear our children and the things that we allow them to do and the things that we don't allow them to do, guess what? People around us will be able to tell what we think about discipline. And by the way, you see it all the time. And let me say this. Give parents of younger children a break. Some of them are, you know, I was a new parent at one time. My big thing is not if a kid acts up. My big thing is if the parents do nothing about it. Some kids are going to act up. I don't care how disciplined you are. That's just the nature, the sin nature, the generations, the generational curse is going to happen. But if a parent is sitting there, like I often see it all over the world, just walking down the hallway, yeah, kids are acting like that, and they're just kind of walking like, ah, da, 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 da. To me, that's the problem with the parent, and that's why you have the product. Now, if a parent is dealing with it, don't need to be all nosy and all that stuff. You know, just let them get the job done, all right? If you see a husband and wife walking and they look like they're arguing, they don't even want to look at each other, you know. They're not even walking straight. They don't want to just turn their ears to each other. You know, that kind of tells you what's going on in their marriage. People can tell very quickly about our appetite by just glancing in our lives. And by the way, how much we truly love the Lord. You know, right now as I'm preaching on this a little while ago, very sensitive subject, especially in today's society with dress. And I'll be honest with you, if I wanted to be liked, I would stay away from that. But the point is to stick to the Bible. And to preserve the culture in our church, which I believe we have. And Pastor already said, we're not changing. So I don't feel bad for saying that. However, you can kind of tell the ladies and the men that are sitting there, amen, come on now, that's right. And then others are kind of like, not they're in here. It's like, okay, he's going a little off bounds here. You only have about 20 more minutes, all right? Here we go. Number two, our appetites are driven by one word. Guess what that word is? More. Our appetites are driven by one word, more. Contentment has always been a struggle for the Christian. It's always been a struggle. We always want more, and we try to justify it, right? I want bigger this. I want more of this. This is why God put this as the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not what? Covet. Discontentment draws us away from realizing that God has given us everything that we need to be happy. Oftentimes, we look around, and we see what other people have, and we think, man, good night, I'm missing this, so therefore I can't be happy. My car is only this, so therefore I can't be happy. I don't have air conditioner, which I need air conditioner. Brother Bichard will remind me, I got to call that guy this week. So I cannot be happy. Let me tell you something. God has given you everything you need to be happy. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content, no matter where I am, however you want to interpret that verse, whatsoever state, California, Texas, Florida, it doesn't matter, wherever I happen to be, God has given me everything I have, everything I need to be content. Praise the Lord for that. It'll help us save some money. By the way, here we go. Happy teens make happy singles. Every teenager is like, boy, when I get older, when I get that car, I'm going to be happy finally. No, happy teens make happy singles. Discontent teens make discontent singles. Here we go. Happy singles make happy dating couples. Oh, one day when I get that female to walk. Sorry, that's degrading, right? When I get that lady to walk next to me, oh, I'm going to be so complete to have someone to text. Right now, I'm just texting my sisters or texting myself on my other phone. It's just not good, all right? Well, can I tell you something? If you're not happy as a single, you're not going to be happy as a dating couple. It's just going to happen. Happy couples make happy married couples. By the way, people that are always fighting when they're dating, it doesn't stop. Some of you are nodding your head because you're a testimony of that. You're trying, but your flesh is telling you to nod. Just go ahead and nod, all right? Happy dating couples make happy married couples, and not so happy dating couples make not so happy married couples, because we're always thinking that something else is the cause for our problems, when in reality we should just be content. Happy married couples make happy parents, yeah. Right? They make it work, but when you're not happy already and you introduce a kid to the home, are you kidding me? Husband gets less time, wife doesn't feel good lots of the time, okay? It's not a good, a lot of you moms are getting excited finally here, okay? Can I tell you something? You gotta learn how to be happy where you're at, because that'll help you with your next stage in life. The world emphasizes that the more we have, the better we're off. That's what social media is all about, right? Hey, look what I have. Look at my vacation. Look at my car. So sad now. You know, I heard someone the other day bought a new car, and then someone's like, wow, that's not as good as I thought you would have gotten. I mean, that was almost the mindset. That's not what was said. But that's pretty sad. Hey, if you get a new car, good. Doesn't matter what someone else got. Let's just learn to be happy with where we're at and turn our eyes and ears off to what the world is emphasizing. The more we have, the better we're off. Well, the more of God we have, then that's true, right? The better we're off. This has crept into our churches. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness is not enough anymore. Having the fear of God is not enough anymore. Displaying godliness through our dress and conduct is not enough anymore. 1 Timothy 6:6, the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Out of control appetites will cost us more than we can afford. I have somebody in my life that got addicted to gambling. By the way, this is a sad thing, because gambling is a very deceitful thing, especially if you're successful. You win a couple of bucks, you think you can do it again, and you get caught up in that. I want more. Now, within the last year here, more of our young people have gotten into investing stocks, which if you can learn to do it disciplinedly, I'm fine with that. But I'm hearing about reckless investing. Oh, yeah, Mom, can I borrow some money so I can... You could lose it just like that. Because out of control appetites... Out of control appetites will cause you to pay more than you can afford. That's why you got to guard your eyes. You got to guard your ears. Some of you guys out there, and even girls, you're sitting here watching all these things on TV and pornography and all that junk. It gets out of control. You will not be able to tame it. And I don't know what point this is right now, but let me say this. I remember I deal with the school. And there's times that I have to deal with these type of situations, and I'll leave it at that. And it breaks my heart, because a lot of these appetites could have been changed if the parent would have got involved. If a parent would have done a little protecting. I think that's my next point. Maybe I'll save what I'm about to say for that. Number three, our appetites are a target of the enemy. So number three, our appetites are a target of the enemy. Satan got to Adam and Eve through their what? Their appetite. Esau lost his birthright how? Because of his appetite. Satan tried to tempt Jesus Christ to turn stones into bread while he was fasting through his appetite there. Food isn't the only appetite Satan attacks. He also attacks through our lust appetites, which is rampant. David with Bathsheba, Satan knew that David was a red-blooded man. And by the way, that's why we talk about immodesty. Because we're red-blooded Americans. It doesn't matter what country you're from. This is the way God designed this. Now, given if someone is spending most of their time looking at bad things, their appetite for that stuff's going to be a lot worse. However, we need to help each other out here. But David, he obviously liked women, and he married a couple of them, all right? And Satan knew that. And Satan also knew that Bathsheba's home happened to be in view of David's palace. So he orchestrated it. He knew what his appetite was, and he attacked it. And by the way, let me say this. Don't let it be a surprise when the devil gets you where you can be God. Don't let it be a surprise when the devil gets you where you can buy. You like materialism? You better be ready for it. Lust is your problem, can't control your eyes? You better be ready for it. You better be ready for it. Because the devil's not going to waste time. He's efficient. He's not going to waste time throwing cigarettes at somebody that is not going to be phased by that. He's going to get you where he can. And maybe that's why a lot of our ladies are caught up in soap operas right now. And watching a bunch of things, because that's where he's getting them. Alcohol ain't going to work. Pornography might not work. But all of a sudden, let me get into this area. Let me get your heart steered away from the Lord here. Let me get you to be a little less committed to God or focus on the Lord. Let's just guard our appetites, folks. Next, Samson with Delilah. Satan knew that Samson's weakness was women. And by the way, that was clear. So how did he get him? Through Delilah. Amnon with Tamar. The Bible says that Amnon fell sick for his sister. He was lusting after his half-sister. And it was a problem. But what did the Bible say? Amnon thought it hard to do anything to his sister. I think most of us can agree. There are some things that naturally our flesh maybe causes us to want to desire, but we kind of know better. Amnon was in that same situation, if not worse, but something far more inappropriate. He fell sick for his sister. But then the devil just got a little glimpse of that appetite. So what happened? Cousin came by, orchestrated a plan. Next thing you know, he rapes his half-sister. And the kingdom is nearly divided, or is divided. We got to be very, very careful there. Next, number four, our appetites can change. Our appetites can change. I can hardly believe it. But I used to hate sushi. I used to hate medium rare beef. I remember going to Sizzler with my grandma one time, and they brought me medium beef, which I think is tough right now, right? They brought it to me, and I thought to myself, oh, this is raw. I want well done. Stick that thing in the microwave for 5 more minutes. I remember there was a time that I was worldly like that, okay? But can I tell you, I remember we went to a restaurant with my mom, and they were eating raw salmon. I'm just like, man, let's bring some of that home and cook it with some teriyaki sauce on the pan. That's a little bit better. But my appetite changed by the grace of God. And I can eat sushi now, and now I'm broke, okay, because of sushi. And I can eat medium rare beef now. Why? Because our appetites can change. Any special diet can be learned, and the same applies spiritually. But because our appetites can change, we must guard them. We must guard them. We've all heard of appetite spoilers, candy, unhealthy foods, sickness, a lack of sleep is going to cause somebody to not be able to eat. Our spiritual appetites can also be spoiled by ungodly influences. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Hey, if you were raised in a godly home, praise the Lord for that. If you have a godly church that preaches hard, praise the Lord for that. But just because you have good manners and just because you've been taught godly ways, it doesn't mean that your appetites cannot change. With the right evil communication, you can change. You can change. Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? You were doing well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? How can you come from a place of running well and God really identifying you as somebody that was living the Christian life correctly? It's the who, the appetite spoiler. Hang around someone with a critical spirit or appetite long enough and guess what happens? You'll be critical. Hang around people that say all that hogwash, hard preaching, they're just not relevant. They don't understand the relevancy of that in today's society. Look at all these other churches. Well, that's the problem. See, since the beginning of our church, we've always looked at these other churches and thought, that isn't the fruit that we want. That's right. And because that's not the fruit that we want, here's the process that we must take to get the right product. Amen. But if we're not careful, we're not guarding ourselves, we're not guarding our children, appetites are being changed, and then our church is going to change. And we haven't, but that can happen to anybody. Next, it is no doubt that our desires for God's work, desire for God's word, and desire to live holy and blameless before the Lord is directly influenced by the appetites of those who we choose to follow on social media, watch as entertainment, or physically hang around. That's it. The reason why I enjoy sushi is I hung out people, they ate sushi. The reason why I enjoy eating beef the correct way is because I watch professional chefs, not home cooks that burn their food. Sorry, I got a little bitterness there that like to work their jaw extra. Okay, that's fine. You want your teeth to fall out? I'm fine with that. It's okay. There's dentists for that. Next here. The right appetites are worth fighting for, amen? Yep. The right appetites are worth fighting for. Because we have children that haven't been tainted by the world, and I hope we still do. Come on. They haven't been tainted by the world's appetites. Bless God, let's fight to keep it that way. When I look at the purity in my kids, I think to myself, first of all, I didn't have that purity at that age, but that's okay. God gave me another opportunity in my children and my family. But I'm going to guard those kids. I'm going to guard who they hang around with. I'm going to guard what they watch. I'm not just going to stick an iPad in their lap without monitoring what they're watching because appetite changers are everywhere. I don't want their appetites spoiled. Amen. Because we have a family that has an appetite for going to church and an appetite for family time in the Bible and an appetite for serving in ministry, let's fight to keep it that way. If you have children that love to vacuum for the church and clean the restrooms and serve on the bus routes, you better not take it for granted, and you better continue to guard them. Why? Because their appetites can change. Yep. There can be a day when they say, why do we have to go to church? Or maybe they come to church, but instead of sitting up straight, their head is tilted now because they're thinking about their soap operas at home that they can continue on later. Let's guard our appetites. I don't have very many friends, you can tell. I mean, my wife wants to walk out right now. She's like, oh man, this is embarrassing. No, we're preaching the Bible. We're preaching the Bible. Next, we're preaching holiness. Got to make that clear. Some people, oh, that's not the Bible. It's holiness. Next. Because we have a church, which Pastor has made it very clear several times since we came in here, Pastor Myers, we aren't changing, amen? Thank God for a pastor that'll say that. If we have a church still, which we do, that still values the pursuit of holiness, I didn't say perfection. Let me make that clear. I'll say that several times. I'm not talking about perfection, but the pursuit of holiness, yeah. Striving for holiness. Let's guard that. Amen. Let's protect that. Because we have a church that in which we want our teenagers to focus more on walking with God than having this dating around mentality, let's guard that. Yeah. By the way, that's what we've always preached, and we haven't changed, so I'll still say it. But teenagers don't need to be dating around. It sets up a lot of bad things in the future. And I know that's not popular in the world, but I pray to God that it can stay popular within our church. So when we make those things, a lot of times people will look at things as strictness. But I mentioned to someone the other day, it's not so much that people have a problem with strictness, they have a problem with straightness. You see, the straight and narrow way is the way that God always wants us to walk. He told the disciples to leave your nets, everything that you knew, everything that you're comfortable with, and follow me. He wanted total commitment. But nowadays, that's hard to swallow. Man, if that's the case, good night. Jesus wouldn't be invited to very many churches to preach. Can you imagine? Next. Let's make sure our teenagers are not more caught up with video games than walking with God. And parents, we control that. Or what the next anime is. By the way, let me say this, parents. You may not know this, but I feel responsible to tell you. A lot of these anime things that our kids are into right now are wicked. Yeah. And the sad thing is we're not putting the information or spending the time to study. A lot of those things are immodest and immoral. And it takes you down a road straight to pornography. And I wish that we would spend a little bit more time. And I'm not scheduled to preach in 2 weeks. So if you don't want to be here in 2 weeks, that's fine, all right? I might not want to be here in 2 weeks, all right? Someone's been texting me a lot. I don't know, hate or whatever it is, but we'll put that in my phone away over there, all right? Next. Let's guard our appetites. Let's guard our appetites within our marriages. Let's make sure that we're not doing anything that would cause us to bring harm to our marriage. Amen. You know, women, and men that are married, I don't believe that you should never have fun just because you're married. Someone, sometimes people have that mindset. I'm married now. I'm bound. You can have a lot of fun. Just learn to have fun with each other. It was more fun when she was single and I was single. More of a thrill. Now it doesn't even matter if she likes me. Before, does she like me today? Oh, yes. Now it's like, I really don't care. We're stuck here together. It doesn't matter. Our kids are together. Okay, what do you got? You know, that's why that dating life, unfortunately for many, it's way more fun than when they're married, which is not the case. It should not be the case. But let's guard the appetites within our marriages. If we're listen, my wife allows me to sit there and look at movies with ladies that are not dressed well. That's an appetite that's forming, that's already there perhaps. And when she's not around me, I hate to say this, I'm still gonna crave those things. When I'm using it for entertainment, when I'm out in the world, I'm still gonna crave those things. That's how it works. Yeah. So we gotta protect each other. We gotta protect each other. Let's guard the appetite of our children and our teens, for they are our future. And I've mentioned that a lot. I just miss the days. You know this. You go out in the world, you see these teenagers, there's no purity anymore. There's no shyness or bashfulness like, you know, kids used to be way back then, even before my time. Kids have so much on their mind now. Mental illness is so crazy because their minds were not supposed to have all this sin and all this craziness, all this drama. That's why they're struggling mentally right now, and they don't know God. They're not meant to handle those things. relationships, school, sin, temptations, worldliness, and then you add the fact that they're saved, now they have a Holy Spirit that's convicting them like crazy, and all these battles, of course, let's guard them. Yeah. Listen, you don't have to like anything that I said today, but this part, please, guard the appetites of your children. They will give you headaches later on if you don't. Bigger headaches than perhaps are already giving now. Next, likewise, their appetites can change for the better, and I'm almost done. They can change for the better by rubbing shoulders with those that are closer than we are to being where we want to be. I don't know where you want to be as a Christian, and I believe all of us want to pursue holiness and pursue God, no matter what it takes. But we've got to hang around with the right people. We've got to hang around with the right people. The great news this morning is that regardless of how unhealthy your spiritual appetite is this morning, it can change for the good. And by the way, that's why I love church. There would be days I come in feeling a little backslidden. But thank God for the word of God that can correct that, amen? Yep. Thank God that even though I may come in unspiritual and my spiritual appetite is anemic, yes, even as a staff member sometimes, maybe my time in the Bible that morning was a little dry, thank God that I can come to church and I don't have to get mad at the message or the word of God, but I can allow it to pierce through my hardness and break up my fallow ground. That's the goal. 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Bible says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul was basically saying, hey, listen, model your life around me, not in a prideful way, because that might be easier for some people to follow than to follow God directly. And by the way, that's why our lives are supposed to be a good testimony, because somebody needs you so that they can get a little closer to Jesus Christ. Somebody needs you. By the way, everybody has a specific and unique part in the church. There are some people that will never come to me. I don't know why. I'm not like that special or anything, but they won't just because I'm one of the pastors here. They won't, but they'll go up to you, and they'll watch you, and they'll learn from you. That's why we need you to do right. We need all of us to live right. Amen. Our appetites can change by the word of God. This includes the personal reading and studying of God's word. This includes the preaching of God's word. That's why I encourage you. During preaching, I don't think we have it much now. We don't need a hallway ministry, amen? Come on. It seems like, you know, we don't need to get away from the preaching. Yeah. We need to get into preaching. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, and I shouldn't say this, but I remember when I became an assistant pastor, there's a lot of things for me to do. And sometimes I tried to justify doing those things during service. And I would find myself sitting toward the back. I need to do this, I need to do that. Nothing wrong with sitting back. I like the back, amen. But it says reserved for, I don't know what it's reserved for. I can't sit there. And it would not be hard for me to miss out on a couple of things, especially cooking. I'm already missing out. But let's guard that. Let's guard our need for preaching. Let's guard our desire for preaching and be around the preaching of God's word. Very, very important. Next, after all, we're supposed to let the Bible dictate our convictions, which are Bible-based. Then we are to wisely and prudently set up standards and preferences, not a dirty word, to protect those convictions. So a conviction of mine is not to ever be unfaithful to my wife, right? Isn't that a good conviction? I never want to be unfaithful to Leslie Chin. Well, guess what I'm going to do now? I'm going to set up barriers to protect me so I make sure that never happens. Yep. So these barriers and these boundaries and these standards and preferences might not be something that you guys agree with, but it's okay. I'm setting these things up to make sure that I don't put myself in a bad situation. Yeah. That means if there's a lady that's stranded and it looks like she needs some help, and she may be even be a church member, and she looks like she needs some help right away, and I drive by, one of my standards and preferences is that I'm not gonna be alone with another lady in my car. So as a result, even though it might be inconvenience, and even though she may be waving at me at first and then later on, she's not waving me with all five fingers anymore, amen, because I'm driving by, it doesn't matter. You know why? Because that is my standard and preference and my boundaries to protect myself from my conviction.
There you go.
Don't ever be upset with standards and preferences, yeah, because they protect the very things that most people that don't have high standards and preferences, they end up losing. They end up losing. Very, very important. What does living for God mean to you? What does having a good family mean to you? Guard your appetites. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. John 15:3, now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, one of the best ways that we can have the right appetites is by delighting in God. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The sad thing is we're getting most of our appetites from the world. We're getting most of our appetites from our peers. When God says, I want to give you the right appetites. And by the way, the right appetites are sometimes uncomfortable. I tried the keto diet for a couple days. I feel so, like such a loser. I'm sorry, I can't even look at people right now. I tried that thing, Brother Raul. I think it was 3.25 days. I'm going to get credit for that 0.25. It was rough, man. That first couple days, Brother Almeida, I could do this. Carbs, noodles, no new dough, okay? No rice, no French fries. I could do that, I think. All of a sudden, I realized everything in the world is made of carbs. what is this? Can I go get a pho with no noodles? They look at you like, get out of my restaurant, okay? Like, what is it? Which is bean sprouts. And when no one's looking, hook it up, okay? Come in with a different outfit, hook it up. You know why? Because sometimes the right diet is hard to get used to, yeah. Right? It's like, ah. But it doesn't mean it's not right.
Yeah.
It's just because our mouths, our appetites have been spoiled. That's why you get someone new coming to a church and they'll just kind of go, wow. There's no dress code here, but wow, everyone's wearing a nice skirt. They're not accentuating their body to draw attention to themselves. It's kind of nice to go to a church where we don't have to like see if our husbands are lusting at church. Can I get a witness?
Come on.
I get a lot of ladies nodding their head. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable at first. Can I tell you something? When I got saved, a lot of the things that I was called to do was uncomfortable. Couldn't look at movies anymore, like with a lot of the bad. That was uncomfortable. Hanging around my friends that cuss like sailors, that was uncomfortable having not to be able to hang around my sisters. It was uncomfortable. It was tough. I can say that because she's out of town. But can I tell you something? The best decision I ever made in my life. Having the right appetites. My prayer this morning was never to hurt anybody, to harm anybody, but to just preach the word of God.
Amen.
And one of the things that unfortunately is taking all of us and has potential to take all of us down a wrong path is our appetites. Let's guard them. And by the way, I don't believe anyone's bad. I just believe sometimes we've been tainted. I don't have social media. I signed up for Instagram to do the watch the live stream. I don't know how to delete it. Those things are corrupt. I tried to delete it. It said, this is only temporary. I don't know how to do it like permanently. I think I'm marked forever. And then last time I logged in, tried to delete it again. I had logged all these friends. Super popular. I have like 30 friends now. But can I tell you something? I couldn't imagine for me, and I'm not better than anybody. Maybe I'm weaker than you. There's a couple times one of the singles would be over at my house. Hey, let me just kind of look a little bit. Just kind of look a little bit. I just want to look a little bit. Man, 5 minutes turns to 7, 8, and then a little bit more than that, all right? You can't help but see these things and want these things and desire these things. And all of a sudden, it takes you away from this. And then when Pastor Myers preaches the word of God, it's like, I don't like what I heard. I don't like what God said there. I don't. Let's be careful. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for the attention, the attentiveness of your people. Thank you so much for the truths of thy word. I pray that you would just help our church to have the right appetites, dear Lord, because it's going to set the direction of our church. The culture around here needs to be protected. And I'm thankful for Pastor Myers' leadership. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would have the right appetites, the appetite of soul winning, the appetite of godliness, the appetite of taking the high road instead of always looking to compromise. But what's wrong with just erring on the side of caution in some cases? Help us to have that appetite, an appetite for preaching and loving you. Bless us now. Let's go ahead and stand together, please. We'll take a small moment of invitation. If God is speaking to your heart, listen, the beautiful thing about every time the church doors are open is that God gets to speak to you. I may not have spoken to you, and that isn't my goal. but maybe God has spoken to you. And if you want to get closer to the Lord, regardless of what decisions you make, you got to come to the Lord. You got to make those decisions. I don't know what it is that God is working in your heart about, but perhaps there needs to be an appetite change. There needs to be some things cleaned up in our lives. We're not bad people. Perhaps we just need to sharpen some things in our lives so we can crave the right things. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Maybe one of the reasons why we're empty, discontent, and lacking is because we haven't been hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Because if you do, the Bible promises us we shall be filled. Amen. We shall be filled. If anyone, I don't know if anybody understands my voice, perhaps, is in this room and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'm thankful for the message, but to be honest with you, I'm not even saved. If I were to die this morning, sometime today, I do not know 100% sure without a shadow of doubt that I'm saved. You know, sometimes by going to church, we have a false security that we're saved by going to church, by being baptized. I spoke to a young man yesterday when we were out at the park. I had a burden to lead someone to the Lord. I pulled him aside. I just said, hey, after playing with him a little bit, asked him about his salvation. He told me, I'm a Christian. After speaking for 5 minutes, he understood that he was a lost person. It's not worth rejecting an opportunity to get saved if you're not saved because you think you're going to live another day. Another day is not promised. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not 100% sure, we'd love to have someone show you from the Word of God so you can get your eternity settled right now. Is there anybody like that? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. If you need to get saved today. Let today be the day of salvation. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much again for your people. I love my church. I love my church for so many reasons, Lord. It's not just one reason. But I pray, Lord, that our church will be preserved forever. But there's just some things we have to do on purpose for that preservation to take place. The same in our families. The same in our passions for you. May we always guard our appetites. Bless our pastor as he's going to be joining us shortly here and continue to be with our members here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.